Wow, what a blessing. Thanks, fellas. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Chris and I were talking earlier how this is one of the truly great, great familiar texts in all of the Bible. It begins, you'll notice, with verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." And then, of course, the familiar words, "If our gospel be hid." Verse 5 says, "We preach not ourselves." Verse 6, "God has shined in our hearts." Verse 7, "This treasure in earthen vessels." Verse 8, "Troubled on every side." Verse 9, "Cast down but not destroyed." Verse 10, "Always bearing about in the body." I mean, really, every single verse. Every verse. And maybe especially the last two verses, you know, our light affliction, this entire chapter, is brimming with beloved and convicting truth. And of course, to no surprise, we have preached, we've taught from this chapter dozens and dozens of times. And like many of you in this room, I've personally read the chapter hundreds of times. And yet, it wasn't really until recently that a single line right in the middle of the chapter really captivated my thoughts. It is the familiar line in the second clause of verse 16. It says simply, "But though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed." Now, wait a minute. Because, beloved, don't let that reference just sit right there on the page. I mean, what exactly does it mean by the outward man and the inward man? Are you telling me that there's a part of Brother Terry down here that I can see, and then there's a part of that very same man that I cannot see? There's the outward you here today that people photograph and see online and greeted you at the door maybe. And then there's the other you that nobody can photograph. There is the you that will one day be laid in a box in a grave. And then the other you that's nowhere near that grave. 2 weeks ago, Friday, August the 7th, I looked down at Louise's gravesite, 9 years to the day, and right there, Riverside, I thought about this verse and this truth, because, oh yeah, a few feet below me. And I was telling a couple of you about this earlier, that it was staggering again to me. Just a few feet below me was the outward person that I had known for over 40 years. But the inward person, somewhere else entirely. And you know, beloved, inasmuch as that alone, just that alone is an astonishing reality, what's truly glorious and instructive and critical is what Paul says and what God tells us about the contrast between your outward man and your inward man. I'll put it this way, two parts of you are sitting in your seat right now. One part that has eyes and a face and a mouth. The other part has a soul. And it is both the outward you and the inward you that God is addressing today. I hope you'll hear him. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray we will hear you. It's an amazing truth, an amazing text, an absolutely amazing reality. What you are telling us in your word today, may we hear it, understand it, and then heed it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things I want us to consider this morning from, again, this amazing text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They are three truths about the outward man and the inward man. And the first one you'll notice, number one, is this. The outward man, hear me, the outward man is decaying. The inward man is developing. Verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." So here's the two distinguishing words given by the Holy Spirit concerning every believer in the room today. There are believers and unbelievers. Right now I'm talking to the believers. The outward man, the word is perish. The inward man, God's word, is renewed. Now, everybody knows that this is the case because, you know what? We see at least half of that with our own eyes all the time. Everything that has to do with this body, everything that has to do with this flesh and this outward us is perishing. It just is. And of course, look, Paul is not being morbid. He's not being dark by talking about that. He's just being real. Nor, by the way, is Paul being negative. Now look, the word perish is about as negative as you can get. But you'll notice it's a word that only applies to one part of us. And specifically, it is that part of us that gets tired and cold and hot and sore and hungry and sick. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'll walk into my mom's room downstairs, and she'll say, Jimmy, why are you limping? Or, Jimmy, you're limping again. But here's the thing. I'm not limping. Nothing's hurt. Nothing's sore. Nothing's injured. I'm literally 100%, except apparently my 100% is now 60%. Which means I used to have to pull something to apparently walk like I do normally now. Somewhere along the line, my normal stride turned into this occasional limp, and it didn't even consult me. It's not due to anything except mileage. Jimmy, did you hurt something? No, Mom, I just got out of bed. Just the old car, just always pulling to the left now these days. Like I said not long ago, I feel great, but the check engine light is on for sure. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, just little, that's all we are? Oh, it gets worse. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us. Come on, Paul. I mean, there's Debbie Downer, you're Paul the pouter, except Paul's not pouting at all. He attaches Jesus to it every time. What he is doing is reminding us of the reality of us as the outward man, part of us. Yes, as a Christian, you are decaying. We all are. However, only part of you is decaying. The inward man is deepening. The inward man is developing. Verse 16, look at it. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is what? Renewing. Now look, folks, I know that there are all kinds of products out there claiming that they can renew the outward man. Retinol, collagen, Rogaine, Revitalize. Clever marketing names like Regenerist, Revitalift, Correxion with an X in it, and so on. There are so many serums and ointments and creams and injections and exfoliations. That label, it might say anti-aging, but rest assured, your outward man, your face, hasn't read the label. But the inward man, God says, God himself, the creator, says that's a whole nother story. In fact, while the outward man is destined to perish, the inward man is being renewed. Renewed? Renewed. What's verse 16 say? Day by day. Every single man. Why, every single day, while the outward man is falling apart, the inward man is actually coming together. Pastor, I resent that. I resent the notion that my physical person is perishing or falling apart. I go to the gym 6 days a week. I measure my water intake with a $100 Yeti. I drink protein shakes that tastes like wet drywall. I know my macros and my wheatgrass and my golden milk and my sea moss gel. You don't know me, Pastor. What I know, is that you can do all of that and more, 1,000 times more, and yet even with your daily bone broth smoothie or whatever else you're doing, all you are really doing is falling apart a little more slowly than the guy at Taco Bell. You might arrive at your appointment with better cholesterol than I will. And don't get me wrong, we all should arrive at our appointment with better cholesterol if we can. We are stewards of this body. But please don't mistake maintenance for immortality. Do not worship at the altar of longevity. You're perishing. The outward man is perishing no matter what, but this inward man, here's what God is saying, is literally doing the exact opposite. Renewing day by day. So that while your eyes grow slowly dimmer, your spiritual vision gets clearer and clearer. My knees are definitely weaker than they were 30 years ago, but my prayer life is much stronger than 30 years ago. My memory can fade, and your memory will fade because of time, but same time, your confidence in God's promises will be greater than ever. And again, this renewal is day by day. It's not once a year at a conference. It's not once a lifetime at salvation or at baptism. It's not even once a week on Sunday. No, no, no. The inward man is renewed daily, daily, every single day. Almost incrementally so as not to be noticed. And by the way, can I just say that's the challenge? You see, the easy thing to do and what people always want to do is feed and invest in what they see more than what they do not see. Verse 18 we read earlier, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're perishing. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're being renewed. You know, I brought my little hourglass. I have this in my office. And I brought it because I thought about an illustration with this verse. Imagine for a moment this, the top bulb, the top chamber, if you will, is the outward man. And the lower chamber there is the inward man. For every believer in this room, there is a very real and inevitable process going on right now between the outward man and the inward man. The outward man at the top right there, it does, again, it gets all the attention. You spend more time dressing it, putting makeup on it, in my case, blow-drying and combing my hair, whatever. Your diet, the gym, what you eat, what you drink, it gets all of the attention. And just because a few grains of sand are trickling out, it's barely noticeable. It's day by day. But here's the thing, it's still happening. It's a little less strength. It is every day a little less stamina, a little less energy. This top part, right now, I'm looking at it. The outer man, it is diminishing. But notice carefully that while that is happening for the Christian, again, for the child of God, something else is taking place down here. Something else entirely, because the inner man, this part right now, is filling up a little at a time. So you see, when the world is obsessed with the futility, hear this, this world, the flesh, is obsessed with the absolute futility of keeping this top part full forever, even as it diminishes in front of their eyes. God's people should and are called to focus on the inner man, to put their attention and their heart, the Bible says here in verse 18, on the glory of the inner man, having more and more and more. Everybody may see this part, and they do, but God is doing His greatest part. God is doing His greatest work in filling up this part more and more. It's all perspective. Which brings us to the second truth in the text. Number one, we said the old man is decaying, the new man is developing. Number two, the old man is doomed, the new man is destined. Look at verse 16 again. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, wait a minute. An eternal weight of glory? Oh, yes. Inasmuch as the top part of this, inasmuch as the old man is perishing, the outward man is perishing, yes. The new man, see that? Is being renewed day by day. So that it's not just weightier. The top part's getting lighter. The outward man is getting weaker. It's not just that it's getting stronger and weightier. It's getting weightier, the Bible says, forever. In fact, what does the verse say? It says a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal, because while the outer man is headed down, that's the word perish. While the outer man is headed down, the inner man is headed home. I wonder, how many of you here today have ever been to Ocean City, New Jersey? Anybody here been there? Wow, a lot of folks. If you've been there on the shore, you may be familiar then with the 10,000-seat great auditorium. It's a pretty amazing auditorium. It was built in 1869. It was constructed back in the days of the very powerful camp meetings at the time. These camp meetings were going on all over the Northeast, even all as far as California. But it was Ocean City, at the turn of the century, that became the spiritual headquarters of that movement. If you've ever seen the auditorium, the inside of it, search it out later today and look at it, because it's all wood interior and ceiling is really magnificent. It was built for acoustics and congregational singing. It was Leonard Bernstein, of all people, the great conductor, who said that it was the equal to Carnegie Hall. The only thing is, it was no Carnegie Hall. Because at the turn of the century, it was Billy Sunday and R.A. Torrey. And earlier it was D.L. Moody and Fanny Crosby, every Methodist, holiness evangelist you can imagine. No, it was at Carnegie Hall with those revivals going on. It was called God's Square Mile. And all summer long, year after year, 10, 12, 13, 15,000 people, standing room only, they would jam into the great auditorium where people by the thousands got saved and surrendered to the Lord, and the fruit has gone on for all that time to this day. One summer in 1898, a Sunday school teacher named Eliza Hewitt and a musician named Emily Wilson met each other at one of these very camp meetings in the great auditorium. Eliza was an invalid, for the most part, a tragic story about her back, and so she had to put aside her dreams and she turned to writing poems and lyrics. And you may remember some of her hymns, More About Jesus, Sunshine in My Soul, Stepping in the Light, and so on. When Emily Wilson heard that Eliza was there among the thousands of attendees, she had John Sweeney, the other great hymn writer you may recognize, introduce them. And there at that meeting, in a place that people called heaven on earth, imagine 10,000, 15,000 people singing and praying. These two women got together in the corner over there. They wrote the hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. And sure enough, before long, in that great hall, 12, 13,000 people heard and sang for the very first time, Sing the Wondrous, you all know it, When We All Get to Heaven. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. It's a simple melody with simple lyrics in the key of G, or whatever key I just invented a moment ago, I don't know. It's all quite simple, except it's really about the deeply profound truth of today's text. You ever ponder, I mean, we sing it, just like you sang One Day a moment ago, it's full of theology, but you ever ponder the lyrics of it? While we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, now wait a minute, pilgrims, travelers, clouds, sounds like outward man stuff, right? In fact, you should know that the woman who penned the words spent months and years in pain and in body casts. She was recovering because of years, these recurring years of confinement and convalescence, because there was this student of hers when she was a teacher. He was an aggressor, and he took a piece of slate and he hit her in the back with it. She was the daughter of a sea captain. She was valedictorian of her high school in Philadelphia, but all of those early dreams were cut short because of her injuries, and so the old man, you see, the old man was perishing, traveling days, with clouds, shadows, and sighs. But remember the other lyrics? Remember the chorus, while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. You see verse 17 again? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. It's exactly what that lyric said. The old man is decaying. The new man is developing. The old man is doomed. The new man is destined. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. And of course, the last stanza says, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. And soon, she says, soon the pearly gates will open and we shall tread the streets of gold. Now, wait a minute, soon? Those ladies wrote about heaven being soon? Well, sooner than expected. Because day after day. And yet, please hear this. For the Apostle Paul, and for Eliza and for Emily's hymn, this wasn't just pie in the sky by and by. It wasn't that at all. It wasn't escapism, that song, that sentiment, that truth. It was an illusion. What it was is the third truth of our text, and we'll close. Number one, the old man is decaying. The new man is developing. Number two, the old man is doomed. The new man is destined. Number three, the old man despairs. The new man delights. Look at verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see verse 15? You see the word thanksgiving there in verse 15? Do you realize that Paul, for all of his persecution, was filled with joy and peace and thanksgiving everywhere? That's the inward man, no matter what. No matter what the outward man sees or endures. Don't forget, beloved, that hymn by Eliza Hewitt doesn't start out. I'll remind you that it does not begin with this pilgrim pathway or with clouds overspreading the sky. No, it doesn't start with the shadow or with the sigh or with the traveling days here. It doesn't even start out when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. That's not how it starts. It starts with sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. Sing it now. Sing it here. Sing it loud. Sing it from the heart and soul of the new man. That is, if you're a child of God, being renewed day by day. Years ago, when the boys were little, Louise and I took them to see the Dolphins game, Joe Robbie Stadium. Actually, I think it was Pro Player Stadium in those days. Someone gave us season passes for that day, and so we went off and drove down there, and that year they were having a really good season. Everybody was hyped up. I think they won the first 7 games or something. So we have our tickets, and after we parked, you know, it's like a herd of buffalo, just people everywhere, tailgaters and super fans covering acres of parking lots. Tens of thousands of people slowly making their way into the stadium. It was a Monday night. And, you know, you could hear the sounds of the stadium, though it was pretty far away. You had to park way, way away. But you could hear the sounds, and you could see the lights in the stadium reflecting off of the sky. But it was still a long walk. And here's what I've always noticed about winning seasons and going to ballparks. No matter how far the walk, how sore your feet, no matter whatever the weather or how long the line is, everybody's happy and singing and patient. I mean, there are people, we were half a mile away. We are the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. People don't sing in a line in the DMV. They're not patient. But Pastor, we're not going to the DMV. Yeah, we're not. We're also not going to Dolphin Stadium. Where are we going, Pastor Blalock? Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, you know that is, that's your body, that's your outward man. We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, what? Eternal in the heavens. So yeah, Pastor, the line is long. It's been a long time. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. See, folks, you can either spend your life up here and it's almost diminished completely now. You can spend your life counting the wrinkles, or you can spend your life counting his mercies. Looking at what's fading away, or looking at the love and the mercy of Christ and this house in the heavens, which is eternal. Knowing that one day, Pastor, how did this dear woman who's had a back injury from an attack, she's trying to teach someone, and this student attacks her. How does she spend her life writing hymns about more about Jesus? And when we all get to heaven, because she recognized that one day she wrote it, not a shadow, not a sigh. And the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's your question, and we'll close. Which part of you has your real attention this morning? Really? Which part has your heart's and mind and soul's investment? Are you singing against the sighs? Because that is precisely what you and I are called. That is our birthright. And if you're here today and you have no clue about this outer man and inward man, I said at the beginning of the message that we are talking to believers. That's because the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the inward part. This was born. Now this has to be born. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is going down. This will go up for eternity if and when you accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you've not done that, today is the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed for a moment. I wonder who'd say, Pastor Blalock, I'm here. I'm here today, and I am a Christian. I'm saved by the grace of God. And as a Christian, on this Lord's Day morning, I needed this message. I can testify to that. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven, but God has spoken to my heart about something. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say that? Would you lift your hands really high, all of those? Amen. God bless you. So many. And I raise mine for sure. If you're here today and you could not raise your hand just a moment ago, in other words, with heads bowed, eyes closed, you don't know for sure that if you died today, you'd be in heaven. But you say, Pastor Blake, I need to know. I want to know for sure. I won't come down. I won't embarrass you. But yes, we would love to pray for you. If you're here today and you're not sure that your name is written in heaven, that you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, you're not sure you have that. Because I promise you, Jesus wants you to be sure that you have it. Because he made that promise in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. But if you're not sure you have it, with heads bowed, eyes closed, you say, Pastor Blog, that's me. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure I'd be in heaven. I don't know my name's written there. I don't know that God has prepared a place for me because I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, eyes closed, who would say that? Would you lift your hands really high through the building? Amen. Anyone else? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. God sees your heart and your need. Anyone else? Join with these. All right. I want to say just a word for those of you sitting in the pew that are not sure that you have an inward man, that you have been born again, because that part of you is going to go somewhere forever. The Bible says in Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is heaven, his presence. We're all sinners, and we've all fallen short of it. And if that was the end of the verse, we would all be doomed forever. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal death. Your body is perishing. We just read it. You can look around and see it. Look at your high school picture and you will know it's true. We're perishing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. God wants to give you something. You don't earn it. Not your religion, not your good works. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, look, if you're here today and you're not sure, as we mentioned a moment ago, and you raise your hand and said, I'm not sure. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right there in your pew with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you will recognize that you're lost, that you're a sinner, that you deserve what your body is getting and what your soul will get, which is death, eternal death, because you know you're a sinner. If the Holy Spirit right now is convicting you and saying, yep, this is true, this is the Bible, you're lost in your sins. If you will confess that to God right now and say, dear Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And I believe as best I can that you sent your son to die for me and he died on a cross and he was buried and he was resurrected. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about that right now, then you embrace that. You accept it and you accept his son as your Savior. And you pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, my life. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you. I accept you as my only hope, as my Lord and Savior. For those in this room who raised your hand and said, I am saved. How about you walk out of this doors, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. The outward man's perishing. That's just the way it is. But the inward man is being renewed day by day until when we all get to heaven. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into your hands, Lord, in every way. Please use this time for your honor and for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Kevin's going to lead us in the invitation hymn. Brother Jason's here at the front. If you need to speak with someone, if God has spoken to your heart, let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As we sing together, sing along. If you need to speak with someone, here's Brother Jason. Kevin.